Our text is from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter. I'd like to reread these words, which you heard just a little bit before. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. Lord, bless these words as we meditate upon them, as we learn them and live them. We ask that you would bless our lives and your words of life. Remind us of who we are and the life you've called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated as we begin a message tonight. This is also the time when our students are beginning to take their sermon notes. If you see students with little blue booklets like that, that's what they're doing. And then afterwards, they take them over to the connecting hallway and put them in that box. It's a very important part of our teaching and instructing because we want all Christians to be lifelong learners. We learn in our classroom. We learn at home among our families. And we learn when we come together at church for worship and for our Bible studies. To help anybody taking notes tonight, I think there are four words that I'd like you to maybe jot down that might give you a little bit of an outline. The first is the word salvation. We'll be talking about that. The second is the word life. The third, salvation, life. Then we're going to talk a little bit about an Old Testament king by the name of Josiah. Salvation, life, Josiah. And finally, we'll speak a little bit about a young man in Florida by the name of Marshall. Salvation, life, Josiah, and Marshall. Holding fast to the word of life. All of us in this life have a certain status. And that status is determined by a lot of different things. Could be our job, could be who we're related to, could be the kind of friends that we have in our daily lives. It's no really different than the way it was in St. Paul's time. The Roman culture was a very status-conscious culture. There were the patricians. They were those who owned land and for the most part really didn't have to work. And then there were the plebeians. They were free, but they tended to be middle class or poor, and they had to devote their lives to honest labor. And then there were citizens and non-citizens, and last of all, there were slaves. It's not much different from the way things kind of stratify in our society today as well. We hear about the one percenters. And we hear about the illegals and the legals and so on and so forth. But St. Paul wanted to impress upon the early Christians their status as the children of God. And that's something he wants us to remember as well tonight. This is our status. And knowing your status will have a deep impact on the way you live your life, whether you live in pride or whether you live in despair, or whether you live in the way God wants you to live with hope and with joy. So let's begin with Paul's teaching about where that status, child of God, children of God, where does that come from? It comes from our salvation. In verse 12, Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And then verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. We look around the world and we see how beautiful God's creation is, how awesome and amazing it is. If we have opportunity in school to study it in any depth, the more we study it, the more we have to be in awe of it. Yet, we also have to look at the world, especially the human part of the world, and recognize what Paul calls a generation that is crooked and twisted. So our country and all the other countries of the world spend trillions of dollars paying soldiers and policemen to curb those who practice evil. The world roils in all sorts of hatred and jealousy and disobedience, cheating, mocking, and so on and so forth. We ourselves struggle with some of those same thoughts and feelings. They may not have gone all the way as others around us. We maybe don't need the police to come to our house. But nevertheless, we have in our own hearts the same problems in their roots. We have to ask ourselves, are we by nature blameless and innocent, as Paul describes the children of God? We are not. We struggle with our own idleness. We struggle with our enmity, our hatred, our bitterness, and so on and so forth. So where do we get this status, children of God? We get it through our salvation, which Paul also describes so beautifully when he said that God is not a God who's way far away, like the clockmaker God who makes a clock, winds it up, and walks away as the clock mechanically goes through the motions of telling time. But God is a God who loves the world he created. And even a world that rebelled against him and sins against him, God comes back into the world. And he does so through his son Jesus. And Paul describes that beautifully in this little part of Philippians chapter 2, 5 through 11. Often called by theologians the Carmen Christi, the song of Christ. He says, have this mind in yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Jesus humbled himself, and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Think about that status that Jesus took on. He took that lowest status in this world to give us the status of being the children of God through the forgiveness of our sins. As we recognize those problems that I described earlier, and as we repent of them, as we do in our worship service this evening, and as I hope you do every day of your lives, you receive forgiveness. And in that forgiveness, you receive status, the status of the children of God through your salvation. And that brings us to the life. To the life that God calls us to live. When we think about human status, as I said, it can lead quickly into two bad directions. One is the direction of pride, where people are arrogant, full of themselves. The other is the attitude of despair and hopelessness, when people are sad and when they've given up on life. God wants us to have a hope and a joy. A hope and a joy that come from this status given to us in our salvation to be the children of God. I want you to notice something, Paul. Paul does not say work for your salvation, but rather says work out your salvation. We know that salvation is based on God's work through his son Jesus. God did the saving work when Jesus died on the cross and when he said it is finished. But we do the work of the saved. And that's our new life as the children of God and the status that we have. Paul describes us and the Philippians as people who shine, who hold fast to the word of life. I mentioned we were going to talk about the Old Testament king Josiah. What a beautiful man who sought the Lord, who held fast to the word of life. When he was 8 years old, he became the king of Judah. But anybody knowing the situation back then would not have been very hopeful for Josiah, because Josiah did not have a very good family status. His father Amon was a wicked man, and his grandfather Manasseh was even more wicked. And yet, by God's grace, Josiah broke away from that pattern, that status that had been given to him through his inheritance. God called him to faith. And in faith as king, he ruled through that faith. He worked out his salvation by being a good king, clearing away the idols that for 70 years had become the state religion of Israel. As the Israelites had fallen away from God and had fallen into all sorts of violence and wickedness and evil, Josiah cleared them away and also commanded that the temple be repaired and cleaned up. And as they were cleaning that temple up underneath a pile of rubble, they actually found the Bible, which had been long lost. And Josiah joyfully resurrected for the people of Israel the words of life to hold fast to them, that we might have the life of hope and joy in Christ, sins forgiven, and now, with God's grace, the ability to resist and fight back against the temptations, the trials, and the tests that'll always come our way as God's people. There is a modern example of a young man who also stood up for his faith. This fella I mentioned earlier in my sermon, Marshall Polston is his last name. He's a student at a university in Central Florida. He was sitting in a class where the professor, a Muslim lady, taught the students that Jesus Christ did not die on the cross, nor did his disciples ever think of him as being the Son of God. Most of the students stood back, sat back, listened to this, didn't say a word. But Marshall raised his hand and challenged the professor with those absurd and ridiculous statements. But because he did that, he was charged with causing problems on campus, and he was actually suspended by the university. But after an investigation was done, it proved that Marshall had behaved quite honorably and that he certainly had the right to challenge the professor, and his suspension was lifted and he was reinstated. Nevertheless, it's a good example of what happens when people realize they are the children of God, when they hold fast to the word of life, and when they shine in this crooked and perverse generation of this world. As you work out your salvation, those are the kinds of things that are going to happen from time to time. But God will see us through them. God will fulfill them for us. Perhaps the most notable example of this is Paul himself. The letter to the Philippians is called the letter of joy, because it speaks so often of the joy that is ours in Christ, who gave up his status as the Son of God in glory to become the Son of God on the cross and to bring us into God's kingdom as his children. What joy that brings to us as we lay our heads down on our pillows tonight and remember our sins are forgiven. And when we wake up in the morning, we have a new life to live, to which God has called us. And whether it be that we face temptation or whether we face some testing in our lives, it is God who is at work in us to do what is well-pleasing, as we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to hold fast to the word of life as the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.